From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Do you find prayer inspiring? Or do you find it just about as exciting as watching paint dry? Most of us would say that we believe in prayer, but do we have any experience of the power of prayer? What does it mean to really pray? Good morning. I'm Ian Brown, and today we're going to spend some time considering the subject of prayer. But before we get into the topic, let's take a minute or two to listen to perhaps the most famous hymn ever written about prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Richard Baxter stained the walls of his study with his breath as he prayed. He was used as God's instrument in sending blessing throughout Kidderminster, resulting in the conversion of hundreds of sinners. There's no doubt that's one tremendous example of powerful, prevailing prayer. But what does it mean to offer true prayer? Our text today in Psalm 69 and verse 3 is a good signpost. It really points the way in this one. The psalmist David said, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." I want to focus on three aspects of true prayer that appear in that verse. First of all, let's consider the passion that is in true prayer. Think of the words David used here to describe his praying before God. "I am weary of my crying." And the word weary means to labour, to toil, especially with painful effort. Then David says, "My throat is dried." And by that he meant it was as dry so as to be ready to burn. The word literally means to melt, to burn, to dry up. And David uses another expression. He says, "Mine eyes fail." And that means to be quite done, to be spent, to be wasted, to be exhausted. Now these are strong words that David is using about prayer. They speak to us about very strong praying indeed. Whenever you take time to sit down and scan through the Bible and note the words that are used to describe prayer, you can't fail to be struck with the thought, this is serious, energetic, determined business. These people are approaching the mighty God with real earnestness. I think of Romans 15 and verse 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren," Paul said, "that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." The word strive means to agonize. And in Colossians 4 and verse 12, Paul introduces us to one person, a friend of his, who did agonize in prayer. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers." And those words, labouring fervently in prayer, carry the force of to agonise, to contend, to wrestle. You see, as Paul sits down before his yellowed parchment and searches for words to convey the full force of his friend's efforts in prayer, the picture of a wrestler flashes in front of him. It's a picture of extreme exertion, determined struggle, stretched muscles, sprays of sweat. All the powers of the body and the mind are concentrated in overthrowing the opponent. That wrestler bends and twists, he runs and leaps, he strains and struggles to gain the prize. In one of Horatius Bonner's hymns, he made the point that it is with strong, great wrestlings, souls are won. Bonner was certainly right. Christ Jesus our Lord agrees with him, for that's how he conducted his prayer time. I see Jesus in Gethsemane. And as I watch him there, I'm given a wonderful, gripping and inspirational picture of what real prayer is all about. He cries in among those olive groves. He wrestles in prayer. He agonizes there. He pours out his soul before his Father on that sweat-soaked patch of the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul is stretched out in earnest supplication. Luke recorded in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, "And being in an agony," literally in a contest, "Jesus prayed more earnestly." He stretched out. Now, there was no play-acting here. Nothing of what those infamous New Testament play-actors, the Pharisees, got up to here. No glib reciting of a set form of words printed on a page here. Not at all in Gethsemane. This is for real. This is earnestness. And this is how we should pray for all of our needs. Like David does in Psalm 69 and verse 3, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Let's wrestle. Let's struggle. Let's strive. Let's show real vigour and earnestness in our praying. That's the passion of true prayer. But then secondly in our text here, we have a view of the persistence of true prayer. Psalm 69 in the verse 3 again, David is saying, "I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." It seems that David has been crying for a long time. He talks about waiting. There was an unmistakable persistence about it. Now, of course, the Bible repeatedly emphasizes the importance of persistence in prayer. For example, Luke 6 and verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, before the blessing of Pentecost came, we read, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." In Ephesians 6 and verse 18, we are exhorted, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's good to be earnest in prayer, but it's better to be enduringly earnest. George Mueller, famous founder of the Ashley Down Orphanages in Bristol, began to pray for 5 personal friends. After 5 years, one of those whose salvation he desired came to Christ. After 10 years, 2 more were saved. For 25 years, Mueller continued praying for the other 2, and then the 4th was saved. Until his death, he didn't stop interceding for the conversion of the 5th. And it was a few months after Mueller died that the 5th man was saved. Mighty in its working is the righteous man's prayer. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. That's the passion and the persistence of true prayer. But then this text in Psalm 69 and verse 3 also lifts the lid on the prospect of true prayer. It hardly needs to be said that David was confident his prayer would get him somewhere. He expected results. We may be sure of that as well. Prayer works. Prayer obtains. Prayer brings blessing. As one has so quaintly put it, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. Prayer brings all of the blessing and the strength of heaven down to us. A missionary awoke suddenly. She had this strange feeling of imminent danger. The rays of the moon shone through the window, but she couldn't see anything wrong. Yet still she had this feeling of danger, and she woke up her husband. They talked in a whisper. Then, beside the bed, they saw a fearsome creature, a giant cobra, whose head was raised. Soon it would strike and inject its venom. Quickly the husband reached for his rifle at the side of the bed and shot the cobra. One day, when a friend of the missionary's was sweeping the floor in her home in Canada, an irresistible urge came over her to pray for her missionary friends. She was convinced they were in danger at that very moment in time, so she began to pray, and presently, the peace of God came into her heart. Sometime later, when those missionaries and their Canadian friend got together and compared notes, they discovered that the danger the missionaries were in, and the burden that came to pray for them thousands of miles away, corresponded right to the very minute. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. We need to get the vision of David, and we need to adopt the practice of David. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Let's have passion in prayer. Let's be persistent in our praying, and let's expect a glorious prospect through prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.